In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
O my strength, it is you to whom I turn. For you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me merciful love. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, my friends. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and welcome to another wonderful day in the neighborhood. but I'm in a good mood today, guys, because it is finally warm here in Portland. We have our first 80-degree day so far, you know, this month. And, you know, it's beautiful outside, you know, no rain. You know, so it's a great day to be outside. Well, except for me, my hay fever. You see a lot of the cotton from the cottonwood trees blowing around. You know, like danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. You know, don't go outside. My allergies are bad this time of year, so I'm avoiding going outside unless I absolutely have to. It's not like I need to get in the sun anyway, you know, you know, for what, you know, so, welcome to the show today. We got a great show for you today. We're talking about a topic that we've addressed several months ago, but we received so many calls, we couldn't get to everybody, so we want to bring this topic up again. It's loved ones away from the church. Yes, all of us, I'm sure, have experienced someone that we love, someone that we're close to, a family member, you know, a son, a daughter, parents, siblings, you know, or a very good friend, someone, maybe a college roommate, that are away from the church, and that fills us with pain and anxiety. And sometimes when you have a situation like this, a lot of people to blame, right? You blame yourself. You know, as a parent, if I just would have taught my kids better, if I would have been a better example to them, if I would have brought them to church more, if I would have encouraged them more in their faith, we would have prayed more together as a family, that kinds of thing. You can blame the culture, right? This the schools that are indoctrination centers that are not teaching young people how to think, but telling them what to think. You could blame extremely poor catechesis in our parishes. You know, where I just came across this the other day. Someone was sharing with me how they received incredibly poor catechesis at their parish. You know, when they were getting ready to come into the church, and when they came in, you know, and they started really learning the faith, you know, as it's articulated in the catechism and such, that they were like, whoa, what happened? I mean, they actually fell more in love with the church when they actually found out what the church actually taught. So there's a lot of, I mean, the pull of the culture, I think we underestimate the power of this culture to lure our children away with its lies and deceptions, which are from the devil, really. The culture of woke, the culture of cancel, the culture of, deplatforming Catholic voices off of social media, you know, all these different things, all, you know, all are factors into why our loved ones, are especially our young people, leave the church. We want to talk about that today. What can we do? Share your experience with someone leaving the church. Maybe you left yourself and you came back. We want to hear from you today. The phone number to call to be with us today on Beacon of Truth is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Or you can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember, message and data rates may apply. And don't forget, the next segment of the show is the Soulful Psalms. Which I love breaking open the Word of God in the Psalms every day. And it's now its own podcast. That's right. You can go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com, or you can go to your favorite podcast provider, Spotify, iTunes, or SoundCloud, whichever one. And you can download that segment of the show on the Psalms called the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. So, you know, we want to give the best to our listeners here at Beacon of Truth. And so I know many people enjoy that segment of the show. So now you can get it as your own podcast. And also, don't forget, I'm going on pilgrimage this December. Would love, absolutely love, love, love for you to come with us if you are able. We're doing the Saints of Italy. And we're going to be leaving from December 4th to the 14th. So very, very excited about that. And we're going to be touring all over Italy. And so you go to my, December 6th to the 16th. Just go to my website, deaconharold.com. Click on the pilgrimage tab and just scroll down a little bit and you'll see all the pilgrimages that I have coming up even through next year. But the one that we want to highlight now, of course, is the December 6th through the 16th pilgrimage to Italy. And we're going to look at some Eucharistic miracles. We're going to visit with our friends St. Peter and St. Paul, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John Paul II, Padre Pio, Michael the Archangel, St. Rita, St. Francis, St. Clare, Blessed Carlo Acutis, St. Catherine, St. Bernard, on and on. This is going to be awesome. So again, would love for you to join. Just go there and get all the details and sign up today. Well, one of the things I love about doing the show is all the great people I get to work with to make this show happen. For example, we have Matt Kabinski screening calls. We have Charles Berry doing social media. And our producer, friend, and musician, and crowd pleaser, Ace McKay.
MC, crowd pleaser.
MC, that's
crowd pleaser
what it is.
Sounds a little MC. More like please like everything I
oh,
do.
No, no, yeah.
I stopped MC, being one of
yeah.
those years ago.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, we were talking before the show about, summer, you know, so what does that mean? Summer typically means a lot of bands are touring.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of opportunities to see some of your favorite bands, especially you're our age, you know, you get to see some of the bands that you grew up with.
Sure.
And you talked about REO Speedwagon and Night Ranger touring together. And I went and took a look, and they're playing a lot of the amphitheaters and a lot of fairs and festivals and things like that for the summer. And boy, I tell you, it bring back a lot of memories listening to those groups, man.
And I'm past that age of going to like the big bash, like, you know, like Bonnaroo that's in Nashville and Coachella and some of the, you know, really what I call a hot and sweaty fest. I just don't have the time or the temperament to deal with all of that. Plus, concert tickets are so crazy. Like, I'd much rather go see a band I couldn't see because I was too young or mom wouldn't let me or whatever, you know, and then kind of relive my music from my day than to try to, and even to support like up and coming bands, because you can still catch them when tickets are like $12 to $20 or whatever. And then you found a new artist like, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? You know? And so that's kind of where I'm at concert wise. Cause otherwise I've seen who I want to see and I don't really want to spend $250 for a Swiftie or a McCartney ticket. You know?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, and sadly, with my travel schedule and the things that I'm doing, I don't have a lot of time to go to concerts, you know, unfortunately. Or when the concert's in town, I'm gone. And when I'm home, the concert's not here. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a timing thing, you know. But that's okay because I did get to see a lot of my favorite bands when I was younger. Even when my wife and I were dating.
Yeah.
And even when we were first married, before we had kids, we saw a lot of our favorite artists. For example, we went and saw Janet Jackson. Remember during her Rhythm Nation tour, something like that, way back in
the
day. That was really good. Joe Jackson, you know,
right.
I wonder what happened to him.
Okay, without getting, I can geek out for a little bit. He actually got access to a bunch of the original Follies music from way back in like 1930s, 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Okay.
And he basically produced a whole album full of that Follies music. It's fantastic. So he's still releasing music. It's just he's not doing the tour stuff anymore.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't heard from anything from him for a long time. Joe Jackson. Okay, well, yeah. That's good to know. That's good to know. Because like music like that is just, for me, it's the sound of summer, like fireflies.
Yeah.
And, although we don't have any here in Oregon. But fireflies and the smell of the steak and the burgers and the corn and stuff on the barbecue and being with good friends and the ice cream truck coming down the street. You know?
Oh, sure.
the bell used to ring.
Nobody chases the ice cream man
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, you know. And you just don't see that. To me, that's childhood. Without all the internet, with all of the tech, just being with people and just enjoying being outside and all that kind of stuff. Now people are spending more time on their phones and they're not engaging each other. And it's just, you know, it's not like I'm waxing poetic about the past, but I'm just saying sometimes it's good, you know, to have those experiences. And I'm glad that I did.
Amen.
For one. So today on Beacon of Truth, we're talking about loved ones away from the church. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Drop.
Yeah. That's a thump. That's like all thumb right there, man.
Yeah. What? You can't. I mean, that's obviously a synth bass, but you can't. What would you have to tune down to get that low? Because the E string's not that low on
You could get that with a B. If you had a 5-string bass, you could get there. You could play that low B or low C or D, and with the right effects, you could pull that
boom,
off.
Because it sounds so heavy.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have to tune down.
Yeah.
To get
and maybe
that deep.
Maybe some would disagree with that, but that's how I would interpret if I was listening to that and trying to replicate. So.
Oh, awesome. Love it.
Everybody's different.
Yeah, so true. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today we're talking about loved ones away from the church. Maybe you are away yourself, you're struggling with a loved one away from the church. You blame yourself, you blame society, you blame the parish, you blame whatever. But what can we do? What's your experience been? We want to hear from you today. Loved ones away from the church, 833-288-3986. But before we do that, my main man Ace has some good info to share with you.
Well, if you've ever had maybe that dream of being a part of Catholic radio or Catholic television, well, this is the time. We are looking for you to apply. If you go to EWTN.com/employment, you can see what positions are available. Maybe you have some background in that, publishing, internet. There's a lot of different divisions within the network, and we would love for you to be a part of the family. So again, EWTN.com/employment and apply today.
All right, well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 105. So 105 is right near the end of Book 4, 90 to 106. And these particular Psalms in this section here are typically historical Psalms, going back and showing the history of salvation, God working his plan of salvation through the people of Israel. And so we've already, this is a very long psalm. We have to break this up into several sections for sure. We've already taken a look at the first 15 verses of Psalm 105. And now we're just going to continue through, see how much we get done, because this one's really long. We'll see how much we get through today. And of course, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, which are approved for use in the Mass. Translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so if you have a different version, it's okay. You know, what's the best version? The one that you're going to read. The one where God is speaking to your heart through. That's the best translation to use. All right, so we'll, again, 105 here, and a lot of these 10 Psalms, 100, 101, 102, 103, except for the very end, 108, 109, 110, are attributed to David. The rest of these don't have any attribution, so there's no prescript for these particular psalms. So we'll just dive in verse 16. So just to set this up a little bit, So we, the psalmist here is talking about singing the praises of God, remembering God's promises to his people in the past, remembering his covenant relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion that God wants to enter into with everyone as part of his covenant relationship, which of course we know has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ on the cross. So the fullness of covenant love was broken and given to us on the cross by Jesus. And so the psalmist there is going back and remembering through the history of Israel and God's interaction with his people how God began to show his promise. All right, and so right before this, we had seen that the psalmist was talking about that God, you know, had blessed his people. He was bringing them through the desert into freedom to the promised land. He did not allow people to oppress them. He talked about Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the forefathers. So he's talking about all that. Now, he says, but he called down a famine on the land and broke their staff of bread. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. So you know that story, Joseph's brothers, who Joseph was considered kind of the favorite of the family. And his brothers got jealous. They threw him down a well. And then they didn't want to do that, so they actually sold him into slavery, and then it kind of comes around full circle. So this is actually before the Exodus event. So this is when they first went into what they call the Lamb of Ham, which is the Lamb of Egypt. And then Jacob was a prisoner there, but then the Lord had given him visions to be able to speak to the Pharaoh and interpret his dreams. And so the Pharaoh put him in charge of, you know, part of his kingdom. And it kind of came around full circle. So this is what the psalmist is remembering here. So he sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. And now talking about Joseph, his feet were weighed down in chains. His neck was bound with iron. Until what he said came to pass, and the word of the Lord proved him true. All right, so that's what I was just summarizing there for you. But what's the lesson in here for us? It says his feet were weighed down. He was imprisoned, and sometimes we are imprisoned by sin. We're imprisoned by our own desires. We're imprisoned by addictions. We're imprisoned by vices, you know. But the word of the Lord will help to set us free, right? Jesus Christ says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that the truth, right, which is Jesus Christ, not an idea, it's Jesus. The truth will set you free. So it's that dynamic encounter with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. We truly encounter him in word and in sacrament. Help us to fight against those vices and all those things that separate us from his love, all those inordinate desires, those desires for things that ultimately never satisfy. The word of the Lord will prove it true. So God's word proves itself, as if the proof is in the pudding. When we live God's word, that word takes hold in our lives, takes hold in our hearts. It begins to form and shape how we think and how we act and what we believe, you know, because that, and in that is the freedom to truly flourish as human beings, to truly multiply our talents so that we can honor God in everything that we do. All right. And it continues in verse 20. Then the king sent orders and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to instruct his princes from his heart and to teach his elders wisdom. So look at that. Joseph goes from being a slave in a dungeon, right? And remember, there was a time where when he was down there and he was down with another guy, the other guy's like, oh, man, I got to tell the king about all this stuff. The guy gets released and he forgets about Joseph. Yeah. So Joseph had to spend a time even longer down in there until finally he was able to be released. And what did God do? God blessed him for his patience, for his endurance during that time of struggle. And now he is giving wisdom to the elders of the court of Pharaoh.
Yeah, and Joseph's story is a prime example of serve where you're at. So whether he was in prison or he was in a place of authority, like he served wherever he was and he was happy to do it. And from my interpretation, as I read the scripture, it sounds like he had a good attitude, didn't seem to bow up and, you know, whatnot. But then when his brothers came back around, there was, you know, a lot of a lot of humble pie served, but he did it very, I mean, in the most godly way I think any of us would. I mean, I think that's what we aspire to try to get to, is how do I not let my enemies still get to me, you know? And Joseph's, his story is a great example of, you know, just let it go, serve where you are, and God will take you to what's next.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, he could have responded with the same animosity that his brother showed to him.
Yep.
You know, and in his mind, he would have been justified. Look what they did to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to do it now. Look at this. Now they're coming to me. I'm going to do the same thing to them. You know, obviously, he didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
But he could have responded in the same way that he was treated, but he didn't. You know, and this is a precursor. I think Joseph here is a precursor to the teaching of Christ. He says, love God and love your neighbor yourself. You know, the whole turn the other cheek then. If he strikes you, turn the cheek to strike the other. If he takes your cloak, then give him your tunic too as well. And like, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah. This goes against my nature to want to get revenge.
Sure.
You see, to treat someone the way that I was treated. No, it's about treating someone with respect and merciful love. You know, and that's why I think the big mistake is when we have someone that is same-sex attracted or transgender. You know, the first thing we want to do is we want to get angry, we want to despise them, or not even be around, not even talk to them. You know, as opposed to engaging them with love, mercy, and respect, because despite whatever they may be experiencing, they're still a human being made in God's image and likeness. We are called to love all of our brothers and sisters with the love and the heart of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't mean we accept people's behavior or lifestyle choice decision. I'm not saying that at all. But we have to respect the person. That's what we're not able to do in the culture, to separate the person from their action.
Yeah.
You see, well, that's what we need to do.
And if we're either not embracing people with the love of Christ, or we don't embrace them the way that God has called us to, then we are no different than the world.
Yeah, you go.
But we also don't want to compromise our character because someone else chooses not to have any. So those are things that we have to play true to if we are truly men and women of God.
Yeah, and that's a hard line to walk sometimes, man.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Because you're saying on one side, okay, here's this person made in God's image and likeness. Then you see all the things on the news, on television about, you know, story time in the library with the transgender folks and all this kind of stuff, and you know what happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral during that funeral and all. I mean, so all these kinds of things you hear about, you just get angry. Mm-hmm. So you have to wait a minute. So yes, I'm angry at this society accepting all of this, but at the same time, you have a person, a human being standing in front of you. You have to separate out the vitriol for the culture versus the person standing in front of you. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, those are what God calls us to. It's not easy.
Yeah. I had to get into a frame of mind. There was a period of my life that I had to get into a frame of mind of that when I was standing before a decision or a reaction that I could feel bowing up, is to hear God's voice remind me, this is my child. And it doesn't matter what they've done or who they are to me or around me or to the world. I would hope they would have the same thought about me if I was saying or doing something to rile them up, because we are to love his children.
Yep. Again, love. You know, as I always say, we love everyone. We always don't love their actions.
Right.
And we judge actions. We never judge people.
Right.
Right. And that's the key. In fact, that's the key that we're going to talk about with our topic today. Loved ones away from the church. Would love to hear from you, your experience of your family members, put your kids away from the church. 833-288-3986. Thank you.
Sometimes the guitar has to truly weep.
Yeah, that's right. And he's playing those notes like almost muted, you know?
Yeah.
And the progression is dark. You know, kind of like an Edward Scissorhands kind of thing going on there, you know?
A little bit.
You expect some brightness in that progression. All of a sudden, it just goes deeper.
Yeah.
It goes down. You know, you expect your ear wants to go up, and it keeps, right? That's normal. Yeah. This 1625. I love that. That turnaround there, 1625 turnaround. That's awesome, man.
Always
right there, right there.
That
note, right that chord right there, like that. It goes down. You know? Like kind of reminds me of "Scandalous" by Prince off the Batman soundtrack.
Oh yeah, great.
You know, "Scandalous," and it goes. And it just keeps bringing you down into that. You know, it's. I really like that.
Nothing
really
like a minor chord, man.
Yes, amen. We're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today, we're talking about a topic that was extremely popular. We think we did this topic way back in February when we first, I think it's the first week of shows or the second week of shows that we did. We talked about this topic, and we got so many calls, we couldn't fit in everybody in. So I said, you know what? This is a topic that's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
So let's bring this up and talk about this again, and give our listeners and those who are watching on social media a chance to share their experience of this that may maybe be a blessing to someone else who's struggling right now. We're talking about loved ones who are away from the church. Maybe you have a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a parent. Someone close to your work, maybe a mentor who's away from the church, who's been struggling with faith. Maybe you were away yourself. And what was your journey to come back? You know, and so we want to talk about that today. Loved ones who are away from the church. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we often blame ourselves. We want to point fingers at why this happened. So we'd love to hear you to share your experience. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we all have our favorite sports teams, whether you're like myself celebrating my Vols in the World Series or whoever you pull for, there's always great stories behind the athlete, and Ron Meyer likes to pull those out. It is a show called Blessed to Play. You can check it out Sunday afternoon, 4:30 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All right. We're talking about loved ones away from the church. Would love to hear your story, your experience, your struggles with a loved one away from the church, son, daughter. Maybe yourself and how you've come back. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We'd love to hear from you. There's plenty of room for you to call and share your experience. So let's dive. Let's start here. Kind of continuing from the first time we talked about this issue a few months ago. So let's move on. Why did they leave? So again, there's not one reason why kids leave. Let's just name some. Poor catechesis, all right, and education of the parents, because you can't give what you don't have yourself. So if you're not properly catechized as a parent, or you did not receive proper catechesis, you can't pass that on to your children. It's like if someone came to you and said, oh, give me $20 and your wallet's empty, you can't give what you don't have yourself. Right. And so I remember saying this last time that so what in lieu of catechesis, what parents do is they outsource their responsibility of teaching the faith. My job is to feed them, clothe them, drive them to soccer, baseball, you know, all these other activities. And then, you know, father will teach them. Youth group will teach them. Confirmation class will teach them, you know. But the problem is if they're learning. Intellectually about Jesus and all the stuff they need to know and memorize for a test, and they come home and don't see that faith being lived out with passion and conviction, then it's not going to really sink into their hearts. That relationship with Jesus Christ is not going to, it's just going to be in their intellectual, just like math, English, science, language, arts, religion, is not going to sink deeply into their hearts. But why? They don't know Jesus personally or intimately. They're not in love, right? I mean, that's but what it comes down to, ultimately. They are not in love. Because when you are in love with somebody, you cannot imagine what your life would be like without that person in your life. But yet, every day we have people that turn their back and walk away from Jesus, just like they did in John chapter 6. You know, they turned to walk from them and walked away from, and Jesus let them go, sadly. But we want to pray for them to see the light, to move out of that spiritual darkness and back into the light of saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know, maybe it was a family tragedy. You know, someone, a child died, a spouse died, and you're angry at God. You're blaming God. I'll show you God, and you turn around and you walk away from your faith. We're talking about loved ones away from the church. We'd love to hear your story today. We'd love to share your experience with us on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And Jesus is calling from Normal, Illinois, as opposed to Abnormal, Wisconsin, right? So Normal, listen I think it's Spirit Catholic Radio. Jesus, thank you for joining us on Beacon of Truth.
God bless. Thanks for having me.
Would you like to share with us today, Jesus?
Well, when I heard y'all speaking about the discussion of people who have been away from the church, I thought maybe my story or what I had to say about it could share a perspective for someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
If you don't mind, I'll go on.
Yeah, please do.
I'm a 29-year-old Mexican-American male, and I don't know my biological father. And I was raised in Normal, Illinois. So in a place where I definitely didn't look like the community, though I also didn't really know who my community was. And there was a lot of rage in me as a kid, though I knew, thankfully, my mom did, you know, her most important duty, which was to raise me in the church. Mm. And I'm so thankful that I've always had that underlying core guidance. Though all that anger and rage led me to joining the Marine Corps because I saw that image of what a Marine was, and it's everything that I would want to emulate. Though I never saw the type of man in my community that I would want to emulate because I never saw a faithful man with my own eyes. And so I joined the Marine Corps hoping for this change. And in my experience, I got everything I asked for, though it didn't come from the cornerstone of faith. And so the devil's very smart. So he's going to give you everything you ask for. But if it's not rooted in faith, the consequences are unknown. Mm. So thankfully, my grandma, she always said that prayer and faith is like a spider web. She was always praying for me. And even though we're lost or we get lost, there's a network of prayers that are keeping us safe, even in those times that are dark. And though it may not be true that there are faithful men out there, it's still not true in my world. And so as an adult, it's my challenge to be that example. And I pray every day that I can be.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, thank you for your service. You know, I was kind of in the same situation with my dad, you know, not really having a model of authentic fatherhood. But what my mom did was make sure I had other men in my life. So unlike you, my mom directed me to other men, not to take the place of my dad, but to help me see what a true man was really about. And so we want to continue to pray for you, Jesus, that God put it on your heart to be that man, that you're striving. You understand where you came from. And we're grateful. We are so grateful for the prayers of those moms and grandmas, because the woman's prayer, mother's prayers are powerful. No question about that. But we want to continue to pray for you, Jesus, to become the man that God created you to be. And I want to give you a resource, heroicmen.com, heroicmen.com. Free resources, English and Spanish, by the way. The best resources for Catholic men anywhere in the world. It's phenomenal. There's a ton of EWTN folks on there. Just give me some about any topic you can imagine for what it means to be a Catholic man. So I would direct you there, Jesus. Again, thank you for your call. It's so great to hear from you, to share your story and experience. We are grateful, Jesus, and God bless you. Well, we're talking about loved ones away from the church. They would love to hear from you. Give us a call on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Pam on YouTube, I'm an adult convert on paper, not raised going to church, but found the church in the Protestant Bibles. I'm the only Catholic, and not many of my family go to church or practice Christianity. Yeah, we find that so sadly much of the time. You know, a lot of family members that are not Catholic, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. They think, well, you know, the kids are leaving the church for Protestants. No, they're leaving the Catholic Church for nothing, right? The one of the largest groups of those in our country there are what they call the nuns, right? Not the sisters, but N-O-N-E-S. They have no religious affiliation whatsoever, right? So they're leaving faith in Jesus Christ for nothing. I mean, maybe some leave to become Protestants, but then we find here, as Pam was saying, you know, that not many are practicing as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. So again, we're talking about loved ones away from the church. Would love to hear from you today, to share your story, experience of a family member, son, a daughter, or yourself, like Jesus did, sharing your story of how you were away from the church and how God brought you back. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Well, what are some other reasons that people leave the church? Well, it might be because of substance abuse. You know, they're struggling with something really, really difficult in their life. And again, blaming God for what's going on in their life. And so they get angry and they turn away from God. You know, it might be a case where they're not being taught the truth, you know, or the truth is watered down, you know, and it's like, I'm not buying this and I'm out of here. Like I said, I hear from young people all the time. We want to hear the truth and we're not hearing it all the time from our young people. And so they're longing and yearning for truth, the truth that sets them free to love. Right. So what can we do? What can we do to help our loved ones come back? Right. So what are some practical things that we can do to bring our young people, to bring our friends, our family members back for church? What kinds of things can we do in our own lives? And maybe you have some great ideas yourself. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. So one of the things that I would say, it's not to argue with them. So we all know the situation. We have you know, it's Christmas or it's Thanksgiving or Easter, and we have the kids over at the adult kids over at the house, and you know, maybe some of them not practice the faith, the grandkids aren't baptized, and it just breaks your heart. And every time you see those grandkids, it just wells up, and everything's fine until someone brings up about religion, or someone talks about politics, or someone talks about, and all of a sudden things go south, and the arguments break out, and the arguments ensue, And it's just because a really tense-filled situation, and nothing's really happening. All you're doing is just getting more and more angry with each other, which is ultimately will push them away from the faith that you're so want them to be a part of.
Well, and I've heard Mother Angelica say numerous times when people would ask about what do I do, how hard do I pray, I feel like I'm nagging God over my child who's, you know, gone away or left the church. And she was like, you're not nagging, just say the prayer once and then let it go. Because then that is your faith growing by trusting him for when that day comes and your son or your daughter or your children return. And I thought, what a great way to... Because I know that I grew up in a house where the harder you prayed, you know, the shorter the distance between your brow was how you really meant it, and God saw that, you know. But really, it is letting go. Let the faith of what you have, trusting, okay, God, I don't know their actions, but make them fall in love with you. And then just step back. And I thought, you know. And Mother was always wise, but what a great way for us to think about that as we continue this discussion, because I think we can easily fall into that. The harder we pray, the more we pray, the more we bring it up, it A, feels like nagging on our end, but B, is it even necessary? And I think Mother's trying to relieve us of that frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about kids away from the church or family members away from the church. Would love to hear you, hear your perspective, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Blake has done, calling from Jupiter, Florida. Not the planet in the solar system, but Jupiter, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Blake, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do on the radio, or whatever they call it nowadays.
Thank you, Blake. Would love to hear your story.
So my story is I was raised kind of like what they call a New York Jew, which was like we very like being Jewish, but we don't belong to synagogues and we don't really ever go to temple, but we're definitely quote-unquote Jewish. And kind of explored different faiths in my life, Buddhism and other things, Rastafarianism, all these kind of isms. And I just met a beautiful woman who asked me to go to a Christmas service about, I guess, 3 years ago at a very big non-denominational church. And I liked what I saw, but I didn't like the it was too big for me. So we went to a smaller kind of basically non-denominational church. Went there 4 or 5 times, and I got baptized, and kind of just ran with the ball and really got into it and just, you know, ran towards God, and I just felt that something was missing, kind of. And just by the grace of God and talking to a few people who were Catholic, I realized... you know, that Jesus wanted me to partake of the sacraments and particularly his body and presence in the Eucharist. And I just explored that, and I called my local deacon at the local Catholic church, and we met for about 5 months, about once a week. And I was confirmed, and I had my first communion on Pentecost, May 19th this year. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to be able to partake in the fullness of what Christ set out for us, you know. And I'm just, I'm so thankful. And, you know, it's just a matter of kind of, I don't know if I feel sorry or what it is, because I feel like there's a lot of things, good things that go on in the Protestant world and all those thousands of different denominations that exist in that world, but it's a head scratcher to me that they just basically completely disregard or symbolize the Eucharist and have it once in a month or whenever they decide to have it. And it's hard for me to understand now after go on through the fullness of the education that's involved in becoming a Catholic, it's hard to understand how that source and summit of what Christ wanted us to partake in is just kind of set aside.
Yeah, Blake, you know, it's so great to hear your story. I'm so glad you called, and thank you for sharing that. And you're right. You know, you and I've been Catholic my whole life. I mean, I'm not a convert. I was, in fact, I'm the first baptized Catholic in our family. I was baptized 2 weeks after I was born. And what it comes down to, Blake, is that, and I said this before, people aren't in love. Because ultimately, what the Catholic faith is about being in a covenant relationship with God. Intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion. That's what the sacrament's about. That's what the faith is about. It's not about showing up and punching the clock every Sunday. And okay, yeah, okay, I heard the word. I got the Eucharist. Okay, now let's go to IHOP or whatever. That's not what it's about. It's about God drawing us ever more deeply into this beautiful Sacred Heart. It's about God leading us to our ultimate fulfillment and happiness and joy, which is life with Him forever in heaven. Right, that's what it is. And the problem is, people don't hear, they don't listen to, they don't interact in the faith in that way. For them, is just like, okay, I have to do this stuff without understanding why we do the things that we do. It's all about deepening intimacy and relationship. And you understand that now, Blake. And what we have to do is a better job of, and not just people that come into the church, but Catholics themselves, to be recatechized. When John Paul II talked about the new evangelization, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about bringing non-Catholics into the church. He was talking about re-evangelizing Catholics, right? And we still have to do continue to do a good job of that. But thank you so much, Blake. And I would recommend to you a Catholic author, theologian named Brant Petrie. Brant Petrie, P-I-T-R-E. He works out of the Augustine Institute in Colorado, which is actually now, I hear, Augustine Institute is moving to St. Louis. They're in the process of moving from Colorado to St. Louis. He talks about the Jewish roots of Scripture, the Jewish roots of the Catholic faith in a bunch of different ways, Mary, the Eucharist, and others. So I would highly recommend him. We're talking about loved ones away from the church today. We'd love to hear from you today, 833-288-3986, just like Will has done, calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. I think Columbus is the home of White Castle, if I'm not mistaken. Will, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
White Castle is has their home here. That's true. That is very
true. All right. So, I miss White Castle.
They're one of the St. Gabriel Radio big supporters is a bigwig in White Castle. So
all right,
we love our White Castle. Yep. So, Deacon, what I wanted to say was I have six children. Four out of six are outside the church. Mm. All of them know the catechism and the faith inside out, upside down, and sideways. However, the longest distance is between your head and your heart.
Yep.
And my kids understand the faith and know the logic of it, but they don't oftentimes find there's enough love. Mm. And I take responsibility, and I say that on your radio show, that I take responsibility for the fact that they didn't see enough love in our home, between me and my wife, and in the faith, that they rejected it and walked away. Although they're circling back and making slow gains back into the faith.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And you're right, because sometimes the faith becomes an intellectual exercise for our young people. It becomes like a subject in school that they have to learn. And you're right, that distance between the head and the heart, because the family is supposed to be the place where young people learn to fall in love with Jesus. That's why St. John Paul II called the family the church of the home, the domestic church. You're kind of blaming yourself here, Will, but there's so many other people in that same boat as you are in. You know, and the key thing when we talk about teaching our children the faith is not so much teaching them the tenets of the faith, but really, what does it mean to have Jesus as the heart and the center of your life, and how you make decisions in your life based on that relationship of loving, intimate communion with Jesus. That's what our young people need to learn. Thank you so much for your call, Will. Well, tomorrow on Beacon of Truth, I'm really looking forward to this show. We're talking about supporting children's vocations, not living vicariously through our children, but allowing, how do we allow our children's vocations to find it and to flourish? Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. Until we meet again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.